Once again, folks, it's a joy and privilege to be here this evening to lead before you what is quite a solemn text this evening. May God work in our hearts, speak to those that may be among us that aren't saved yet, and even some who may be cold and indifferent, backslidden in heart or in life. The Word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We all know that tonight. May the Lord be pleased to take His Word and apply it to every heart. 1 Samuel chapter 20, please, we'll read from the first verse. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." David sware moreover, and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." And he saith, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is a new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city. For there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well. Thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then he be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldst thou bring me to thy father?" And Jonathan said, "Far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee." We'll end at the verse 9 tonight. We know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. It is those very solemn words at the end of the third verse I want to focus our attention on briefly this evening. There is but a step between me and death. David was well aware of the fact that Saul was out to kill him. And he spoke of this to his close friend, Jonathan. Beloved, it's good to be aware of danger. In a spiritual sense, the majority of men and women today never think of the great eternity to come. They seem to block it from their minds, not realizing perhaps the dreadful danger that they're all in, and how close men and women are to eternity. It truly is but a step between sinners and spiritual death. David was aware. He was fully conscious of the fact that he was in danger. And you see, when you know there's danger, you're more likely to prepare yourself to escape from this. David's knowledge of danger is a rare thing indeed. And I know that when it comes to things spiritual, it is only the Holy Spirit of God Himself that can make us aware of our need. We have been in many gospel meetings, and you have too. And someone has come and preached the gospel, and it's wonderful that some people are troubled and concerned and moved, while others don't seem to pay any heed at all. In the one case, the Holy Spirit is at work. And it's only as the Spirit strives with men that they will be brought to faith in Christ. The thing to remember, of course, is this. He has said in His own word, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." There will come a time when the Holy Spirit will stop speaking. There was a time when the Lord Jesus stopped speaking to His accusers. His voice to them was silent. And there may well come a time when that will happen to some sinners, maybe someone in this service this evening. Beloved, you need to be aware of the danger. David's danger, of course, in the context, was physical. But so is yours with spiritual matters. The word reminds us that it is appointed unto man once to die. It's an appointment you cannot break. The word there means laid by in store. God has a day when you and I will be called from time into eternity, when we'll have to give account. And on that day, it is what you've done with Christ that will matter. Nothing else. Nothing else. What have you done with Jesus that is called to Christ? Tell me, do you know your danger tonight? Can you face death with confidence and with assurance, knowing that when you saw the danger in your life of dying without Christ and without God, you took steps. Repentance. You embraced the Savior. You laid hold of Christ. You were saved, spirit born and blood washed. And tonight you're ready for heaven. An old preacher said, I heard him just today on tape, I'm all packed and ready to go. Are you ready to go? The late Pastor Ivan Thompson was a good friend of mine. We went to the same school, actually. And contrary to popular opinion, it wasn't Borstal. Although he ended up, of course, in prison. But Ivan was quite a character. He was in the same year as I was in school. One of us was in the, let's say, the higher stream, and the other was in the lowest stream. And modesty forbids me to tell you where I was and where he was, but you can, if you knew Ivan, you could probably work it out. But he had a very successful ministry. He was a tremendous preacher of the gospel. When you met him in the street, maybe even before you saw him, you'd hear this very loud hallelujah. I remember once the front of the city hall, we met in the street and he shouted this, and then he came over and he threw his arms round me and he was as big as I was, maybe bigger. Give you a big hug and a kiss on the cheek. I was that sort of character, you know. But he took ill. He took ill with several tumours in his brain. He was in the hospital. I remember going to see him. He wasn't in great form because of the physical situation he was in, but he was telling me that a wee woman, you know these wee Belfast women, and she was talking to him, and she said, "You know, son, I had a cousin with the very same problem as you have, and he only lived a couple of weeks." And Ivan said to her, Well, I'll tell you what to do, dear. If I don't make it through this surgery, I want you to come into the morgue or wherever I am. I want you to make a point of doing this. And I want you to take a big black felt tip pen and go to my two eyes and write on one the word far and write in the other the word better. For he says, if I don't make it, I want you to know that for me, it's far better. For I'll be with the Saviour that I love and have sought to serve. That's the way to face eternity. He's a man that was in prison, was a thief, was as crooked as they come. He told me that any time he saw a driveway with two cars in it, he knew the people living there were had money, so he robbed them. And he did that very often. And he ended up in jail. But one night, in Abbots Cross Congregational Church, Sammy Workman actually was preaching. And Ivan was brought into the first row because the place was packed. The preacher began to preach the gospel and just said in the course of the address, "Friend, you need Christ and you need him now and you can come just as you are." And that hit Ivan Thompson like a bolt from heaven. He looked up at the preacher and he said, "Just as I am?" He said, "Yes, just as you are." And that night, Ivan passed from death to life and from the power of sin to God. He made preparation because he realized that he was a soul in danger. And he needed Christ. Man, I tell you, the greatest thing you can discover in your life is your need of Jesus Christ. And how you can come to know him personally and eternally. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You need him. It was John Wesley that said of the old Methodists, "My people, our people, die well." Oh, to die in Christ, friend, that's a covenant blessing. Many years ago when I was, and this comes into my mind tonight, I was ministering Dungannon. I had some very good people in that church, and there's one elder. He had the great name of Abraham. And him and I were very close. He was a big man, with a big heart. One night I was called to the house, and everyone, when I got there, the doctor had just walked out of the living room, and he just shook his head at me. And I went into the room, and the whole family were there, and one or two others, and they were all weeping. Before very long, I joined them in their weeping. Because sitting in a big easy chair, and he was sitting, was this big man, this big elder, mine, my friend. And he was a terrible colour, and he was hardly breathing at all. And I went over to him, sat down beside him, and took hold of his hand. I have a big hand. His hands were massive. And I got my two hands and I held his hand and I said, "Abram, you know tonight, don't you, that the Lord is with you?" And just as I said that, he opened his eyes and he looked at me and he smiled. You know what he said? He said, "I am his and he is mine." And he just fell back again. He recovered from that, actually. The next time I saw him, as I followed the ambulance into the hospital, and in the early morning when we went in, he was up sitting, drinking his tea and eating his toast. Lived for a few couple of years after that. But there was a man ready to meet the Lord. Oh, his faith His trust was so strong. One of the most difficult funerals I ever had to take was his funeral. He was a good friend. But friend, you see, in life, one day, W.P. Nicholson came to Dungannon. And he had a gospel mission. And Abram was in that mission. And as W.P. Nicholson preached, he responded, realizing his danger. And there in the meeting house, he trusted Christ. But listen, that's what makes the difference. Because bear this in mind tonight. There is but a step between you and death. This step is universal. It's the first thing I want you to think about tonight. It's a step every man will take as the Lord tarries. Saul, on at least four occasions, had tried to kill David, and even as this chapter opens, he's still doing it. He's after him, he's hounding him, wants to put him to death. David knew the danger he was in. Do you know the danger you're in tonight? That's the question. It's a pointed question. I direct it to every individual in the building. Do you know? If you're in this awful danger, being out of Christ, just a heartbeat away from hell. That's the reality. When man is born, he's born in sin. Oh, your life is blemished, it's stained. Because of this thing we call sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, says the book, and death by sin. And death has passed upon all men, because all have sinned. Paul tells us that the whole world is guilty before God. We're already condemned. At the judgment bar of God, the sinner stands condemned. Just a step. Oh, I know with some it may be a lengthy step. With others, a very short step. But it's a step nonetheless. I mentioned my granda one night here, and he was 96, and he told me that his life was over, really, before he could blink. So he looked back to when he was a young lad about Cushing Dal, where he was born and reared. He thought that his life was so short, and yet he refused to do anything about his state. Told me he was too long in the tooth, and yet talking about short life, to change his ways. What a tragedy. To think you're in danger. A blemished life. And certainly, life is very brittle, is it not? It hangs by a thread. A little virus that can't be seen by the naked eye could take away your physical life and get you out into God's eternity. The book of Ecclesiastes, the chapter 8, and the verse 8 says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death, for there is no discharge in that war. It's going to happen, friend. Will you not consider it? Think about it, even for a moment or two in the meeting tonight. Think about it. It's a short step. Perhaps for you. Whether short or long, it's still a step. Your life, at best, is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. The psalmist reminds us there, in that 90th psalm, and in verse 10, he says, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Man that is born of a woman is a few days. The brevity of life is something we all are bound to see. Jacob, who lived a long time, spoke about his life in terms of days. The years were but days. James speaks of life as a vapor that appeareth for a little season and then passeth away. Boil your kettle in the kitchen. The steam will come. No time at all is gone. That's what James compares life to. Isaiah tells us it's like grass. Job reminds us that life is like wind, and further reminds us that it is a flower cut down. No man, we read in the book of Job, is sure of life. No man is sure of life. We have talked to men within hours of their death. Over the course of the ministry, you know, and many have talked about what they're going to do when they get well and what they're going to do when they get out of hospital and they never get out and they never get well. So many of them. God tells us all these things in his book so that we might prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. We'd be a foolish man would go on a journey without any preparation at all. Land at the airport and demand to get on the plane, no tickets, no passport, no nothing. You've got to prepare. And yet, when it comes to the greatest journey a man will ever make, from time to eternity, there's no preparation among people. That world out there, friend, even in this town, where there are a number of evangelical churches, the vast majority of people have no thought for this awful eternity that awaits them, or the judgment of God that they will face on that great day. They don't want Christ. Oh, I tell you, life is brittle. But life can be blessed. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Some folk have the notion, you know, that Christians are quite a miserable bunch of people. Maybe some of us are poor adverts for the Lord and for true religion, but the happiest people on the planet are the people of God. For their sins are forgiven. They've been washed white in redeeming blood. They've been delivered from wrath to come, and there's a home in heaven awaiting those who know Christ and who love Christ. Why won't you know him? Why won't you love him? What is it that keeps you back? Oh, people have come so close. I remember one of the missions we did in Arandos Town Church. Done several, and there was a lot of people saved in those missions. Tremendous time. But I remember one night, one particular night, there was a number, two or three people had been greatly troubled and had responded to the gospel appeal. And the minister and his wife, I saw them lead this young woman into the minister's room, and I was still in the pulpit. And she was very distressed. She was evidently in a state. And they brought her in, and she told them that she had been convicted, troubled in the meeting, as the meeting progressed. But then, in the middle of all the discourse, she suddenly rose off the seat and said, "No! No!" And I watched as the door opened. And she literally ran down the aisle and out. The minister told me subsequently to all that although she's still in the town, still in the area, she has no interest at all in the things of God. What happened? To become so concerned, so and get so close and be so moved, and yet turned away. Oh, you can get very close, friend. Judas was very close. He kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. It's pretty close, isn't it? That's as close as you can go. But said no. There is but a step between you and death. Universal step. And of course it's unavoidable. Steps, as we mentioned, vary in length. David, for example, lived for more than 40 years after he made this statement. Yet still took steps and time to watch for himself. He prepared. It's preparation that's so important. Don't you neglect this. Man, woman, young person, whatever else you neglect in life, don't neglect that which is spiritual and eternal. The importance of this, you could lose your soul. We had a businessman in the Dungannon area many years ago, just in his mid-30s. Success was his life story. He came into his place of business one morning and he said to the workmen and the fellows there, he said, "Listen, I have made enough. I can live comfortably for years, and what I have plenty of money, and you know the success of this business. I'm going to retire in a week or two, and I'm going to have a ball. I'm going to have a great time." And as he was talking to his employees, his face suddenly drained of colour. And he took a very severe pain across his chest. And he said to one of the men, "Get me a glass of whiskey, please." Out of the cupboard where it was, where he'd obviously kept it. And the fellow went and he got the glass of whiskey and he gave it to this young 35 or 6 year old man. Success was his life story. And he took this glass of whiskey and he put it to his lips. And before he had very little of it, he consumed very little of it, he just keeled over. And the man said that before he fell to the floor, he was gone. He'd drink and be merry. But God came and God said, "Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." And that young man went out into God's eternity with a massive bank book and a barren soul. What a tragedy it is. You need to prepare, folks. Aye, not only importantly, but individually. The salvation of your family members won't save you. This is something that you must do. Ye must be born again. That's it. It's down to the individual sinner to make his peace with God and be reconciled to him. Jonathan, he didn't believe that there was danger for David. "My father won't do anything unless he tells me about it." He didn't know. But David knew. Tell me this tonight. Do you know? Do you know the danger you're in? Do you realize that you've got to do this thing as an individual? You must repent. You must forsake your sin. You must receive Christ. And I'll tell you something else. For you, this needs to be immediately done. What's the point of waiting? Wasting your life? My great regret, and I was just 18, I was just a young fellow when I was saved. But my great regret is this, because I lived quite a wicked life in my early teens. I would be ashamed, embarrassed, if my life story was written on the wall for you all to read. Friend, I know what I was. And I know what I was capable of doing. And I know what I did. But God met with me and the Lord saved me. And my big regret was that I didn't get saved when I was just, to use a Tyrone term, when I was just a cub. I should have been saved when I was very young, but no. I never heard the gospel, of course, until I was 17 years of age. Till I found my way in the motorbike to the Ravenhill Church. First time ever I was confronted with the claims of Christ. When a man stood and told me, personally, that I was a sinner. And that Jesus had died for sinners. And I could know him. And I could trust him. And I could depend on him. And I could live my life with him and for him. That happened way back in 1966. How do I know? Praise the Lord. I was there when it happened. And I ought to know. Don't put it off. A lot of people put things off to another time. But God says, now is the time. There's no tomorrow in the calendar of God, my friend. It's now. A universal step, an unavoidable step, and an unalterable one. You can't retrace your steps in life, you know. You can't live your life over again. Because away back in eternity, God purposed and planned the moment, not only of your birth, but of your death. And there's a universal law that all will die. That's something that the doctors can't stop. They may prevent it for a time. They can't stop it. It will come suddenly, unexpectedly. Little lady went into the doctors in Ballinahinch for her yearly MOT, as they tell it was. And the doctor examined her, did all the tests, everything else. She sat down, he was talking to her, and he said, you know, you're fit as a fiddle. She just keeled over right in front of him. And she was gone. You don't know the moment, but you know there's a step you're going to take. A step that you'll take. And friend, if you leave it too late, you'll be like the rich man. You'll end up in God's hell. What a tragic thing. This step will be lonely. You'll take it on your own. It'll be your last step. And dare I say, for some, it's a looming step. You're maybe very near. I'm maybe very near. We don't know what a day may bring forth. We don't know about tomorrow, but we know, beloved, who holds tomorrow. Will you have sense like David, who physically watched for himself and prepared to escape impending death? Will you do that tonight in a spiritual sense? And take Christ as your Savior. Don't say, well, I'll go home, I'll think about it, I'll pray about it, I'll read the Bible, I'll do this, that, or the other thing. All those things are good things to do. But you need to know tonight, right now, in this place, as you sit in the seat, you need to make this preparation. You need to prepare yourself for this great eternity that's looming. Take the step of faith to Christ. Let Jesus take control. If you want to, Pilate, says the wee chorus, the children sing, signal then to Jesus. If you want to, Pilate, bid him come on board. Why don't you do that? Have done with argument. People have a great sense of loyalty to churches, you know. And man, you couldn't move them. You couldn't shift them from this idea that it's the church, it's the church, it's the church. It's the sacrament, the sacrament. It's good living, it's obeying the golden rule. It's none of those things. When I soar to realms of glory, and an entrance I await, if I whisper Jesus only, wide will open the pearly gate. If I've Jesus, beloved, Jesus only, then my sky will have a gem. He's the sun of brightest splendor. He's the star of Bethlehem. Do you know him tonight? This step awaits you. Do you know Christ? Oh, may God in his mercy and in his grace, even this night, before the minister closes the service, that you will have your faith anchored in Christ. That you will have an anchor that keeps the soul. We can help you in any way. We're quite willing, prepared to sit here with you, with the Bible before us, show you from God's word how you can be saved. May God help you to come for Jesus' sake.